This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Imagine leaving a legacy that lights up lives for generations to come. A legacy that continues to inspire, educate, and move people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Iman Legacy is your opportunity to be a part of this journey. Together, we can ensure that these efforts continue for generations.
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة على المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم اللقاء وبعد. Ladies and gents, I know you've been here for a while and I know it's late, but I have an important message to give to you inshallah, so listen to me good. When the last sickness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the end of which he sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, just before that, a sahabi by the name of Abu Muwayhiba says, I was summoned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come. I have been commanded to make istighfar for the people of the Baqiyah, the graveyard of Medina. So he goes, I went with him, and entering the graveyard, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted as Muslims greet. And then he said, أَقْبَلَتِ الْفِتَنْ كَقِطْعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Trials and tribulations have come near. They're on the horizon. And they will engulf my ummah like a dark night, one following the other, each time the latter being worse than the former. So each trial worse than the one that came before it. And of the trials and tribulations that the ummah will go through, the greatest of it is the fitna of the Dajjal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما بين خلق آدم, between the creation of Adam and the end of time, as in the day of judgment, there is no trial, no tribulation, no calamity, no difficulty that will come upon my ummah greater than that of the Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I warn you about him. And there is not a prophet that came that didn't warn about him. Nuh, at his time, early days of human civilization, warned about him. But I will tell you what no prophet has ever told his people. Dajjal is defaulted, as in his eye doesn't work. He's blind in one eye. A'war. So for this colossal trial, for this great fitna, for this tribulation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directed us towards a protection. So he said, memorize the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf as a protection against the trials and tribulations of the Dajjal. And in another wording, he said, memorize 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf. So the first one, the first 10, second narration, 10 verses. So the directive of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could be looked at different layers. The first is the normal barakah of recitation. So for example, a person is ill, they have an ailment, you put your hand on him, you read the Quran. Just the recitation is a cure. And we have a hadith with regards to this. The Ashab recited Fatiha 7 times on a person that was bitten by a snake or scorpion, Allah cured. So the first is just the surface, superficial, normal recitation and the barakah of it as a protection. But when the Rasul commands, alayhi afdalu salatu wa atammu taslim, that memorize this, memorizing denotes regular reading. Like you don't memorize just by hearing it once. And regular reading denotes, points to, listen, contemplate, there is clues, solutions, directions, directives in this for you for that time. Are you with me? Huh? You don't look like you're with me. So, the second layer is to read the surah with an eye of, hold on, what am I supposed to do at that time? What will those days look like? And what should be my psychology? And what should be my action? And what should be my plans? And what should be my preparations? This is a look of tadabbur. And the purpose of recitation is tadabbur. Qala ta'ala, kitabun anzalnahu, the book that we revealed upon you, mubarakan liyadabbaru ayatih, blessed so that you could contemplate, that you could reflect, that you could ponder, that you could analyze, synthesize, unpack its verses so that you could find your solutions in it. So tonight, I just want to mention, as much as time allows, one, two, three, whatever time allows, of deductions, findings, unpackings from this verse as we get ready for the trials and tribulations to come, because we are closer to it than any nation that came before us, and we're closer to it than any Muslim who came before us. And if you read the current events of the world today, you will see that these events are directly linked to that. Not the time for me to speak on tonight. So when you start, when you open Surah Al-Kahf, the surah's name comes from the word cave. And the surah is made of four different stories. The first story is of the dwellers of the cave. The second story, so the first story, is about young people, an organization that is trying to survive in a hostile environment and keep their faith alive. When they're in an ocean of disbelief, this will ring true for us in those days. It's ringing true for us now. Whoever's righteous finds it very hard. He is an island in an ocean of disbelief, and in an ocean of vice, and in an ocean of evil, and in an ocean of corruption, and an ocean of mischief. So that's the first story. A group of people who take refuge in a cave. The second story is a story of wealth. A man that Allah gave abundant in wealth, and he tried to monopolize it. He tried to build a wall on it, hoard it, keep it for himself, and Allah teaches us its consequences. The third story is a story of knowledge. So Khidr and Musa alayhi salam. The fourth story is a story of a righteous king who reigned over the earth from its extreme west to its extreme east, from its north to its south. So I'll just start with the dwellers of the cave. The Quran says, this is of our amazing signs. A group of young people surrounded by disbelief, surrounded by corruption, surrounded by ills of society. These young people, their hearts responded to the call of their Lord, and they saw the sin of society, and then they tried to challenge it. talk against it, do their da'wah, establish the hujjah, and they are driven out of society to the level that they are seeking refuge in a cave. And when they enter the cave, a little while later, sleep befalls them and they sleep. They sleep for centuries. 309 years. When they come up, when they wake up, they're feeling hungry. So they send someone go get some food. So when they go out to the city, they look, and the city that was a city of disbelief, a city of sin, a city of corruption, a city of vice and mischief, a city of misguidance, has become a city of faith. They are all like these cave dwellers in their conduct, in their belief. They have found their Lord. So the first lesson, the first point to the Muslim is, from time to time you see the news and you see the Muslim is suffering, or a human being is suffering in Palestine, in Gaza, in this place, in that place, and you see that the ones that were talking about human rights and this rights and that right are now in tacit compliance of this genocide and this cruelty, and you think, hold on a minute, who will stand for righteousness? So you start to feel a little bit of despondency, you feel a little bit of helplessness. This surah teaches you the first thing, that don't worry, these difficult days will pass. As the words of Martin Luther King, justice will come down like waters and righteousness like a mighty spring. This all will go and a just settlement will come in its place, and righteousness will rule and faith will come. Because as the dwellers of the cave came out and saw, to their disbelief, what they thought was impossible, Allah has done in front of their eyes. So doesn't matter how dark it gets, Muslims, me and you do not lose faith. We say the king of this universe is the one above the heavens, and his command is be and it will be. But this is the sunnah of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid, and a test for me and you, and a test for the ones in power, and a test for the ones there, so that there can be ikhtibar of what we are. First. Second, let's look at this a bit deeper. In the last story of this surah is the story of Dhul Qarnayn, a mighty king, righteous king, faithful king, a king obedient to Allah and the prophets. This king reigns over the whole earth, from its east to its west, its north, its south. When he goes to a certain place, the inhabitants come and they say, O Dhul Qarnayn, there are people here, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they are spreading corruption on earth. So can you create, build a barrier to contain them, to separate between us and them? Can you put a wall? So Dhul Qarnayn builds a barrier stronger than a wall. Big at the base, smaller at the top, like a mountain clustered on top of the other, and then pours metal on it so it's slippery and you can't climb, and it holds each other together. And notice that now at the end of the surah, evil and vice and kufr and disbelief has been captured and locked behind a wall. And at the beginning of it, the Muslim was seeking refuge in a cave. Do you see the point? That at the beginning of the surah, a couple of believers are in a cave. By the end of the surah, there is a king, righteous in power, that is ruling the whole world in accordance to the decree of heaven. So this gives you further hope and establishes that we don't become despondent. We don't lose faith. We don't lose hope. We do what is our wajib with full trust in the Dhul Arsh al-Majid. Notice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the most difficult days of his life. So he is in Khaybar. No, he is in Khandaq, the trench. There is some 10,000 plus men on the other side that have come to annihilate him. On this side, there's some 1,400 individuals that will defend the city. So their families are there, wives are there, their houses will be burnt, their kids will be taken as slaves. Annihilation they're facing. So in this stage, what do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does and says? So he's digging the trench, a huge boulder comes in front of him. And they can't break it, so they call him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. The story is more juicy than this, but time is short. So he struck it. And when he struck it, a spark flew out that went across the whole of Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi, the palaces of Rome." Like, can you imagine? Like, ya Rasul, there's 14,000 across the trench. We are on the brink of annihilation. We're trying to dig a trench to keep ourselves safe. And you are sitting here and telling me the palaces of Rome and the citadels of Yemen and the palaces of Persia. But notice that at the lowest moment, darkest moment, there's no despondency in the face of the Rasul. And when before this in Mecca, the Quraysh were torturing him, he was in sajda. They cut open the intestines of a camel and poured it on his blessed back. Fatima radiallahu anha comes crying, cleaning the face and the back of the Rasul. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Don't cry, little one. What your father has brought will enter every house on the planet. Like, this deen will go to every dwelling on earth." Do you see when he should be going, "What is this? Khalas, you people don't..." No despondency in the psyche of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can I mention one more point and then... Huh? Are you guys normally this quiet, or is it just with me that you're this quiet? All right, I'll give you one more. So, the second lesson, is the surah gives instructions of our responsibilities and our psychology. So these group of young men, individuals, the Quran describes them as being a group of young individuals. إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى. فتية, فتوة, can mean youth, or it can mean the characteristics of youth. So the man is old but young at heart. He has the characteristic of youth. Characteristic of youth: youth do not bring a lot of social baggage with them. You know, the elderly, the older generation, they bring whatever was in Pakistan, whatever was in India, whatever was in their village, whatever was in that, and they're stuck. The younger generation, not so much. They're more about best practice. They find some way that is better. They'll say, "Listen, we'll do this. This doesn't make sense. We'll do that." This is from Futuwa. A people who are flexible in their approach, looking for best solutions. From Futuwa is courage. Youth have courage. Elderly, they've seen a lot of trauma in life. They hold back a fair bit. From futuwa is forbearance. So you see a person crossing the road. They have a lot of bags. There's an old man standing there and there's a young man standing there. The one who should go and pick up the load and help the person across and carry the burden is the young man. This is from futuwa. A person comes to you, they need hospitality, they need protection. A young man will say, Habibi, I've got you, relax. My home is your home. So these characteristics are characteristics that should be instilled in each and every one of us. Because at the end of time, we will rely on each other as community of faith. So if you lack the competencies, the capacities, build it in yourself. Make sure, dear ones, that your people, that people can rely on. They can rely on your skill. They can rely on your forbearance. You can bear people's difficulties. You can bear people's burdens. You can find good solutions. You can be forbearant. All these qualities are qualities of futuwa. Innahum fityatun. Second quality, amanu, have faith. Iman will be the currency of tomorrow. You will need iman to be able to overcome the difficulties that are about to come. You look at the people of Gaza and the trials and tribulations that they go through, and you see the way they react to it. You couldn't write it in fairy tales. Courage, unimaginable. Resilience, not documented the likes of which in human history. Sabr, istiqama, patience, day in, day out, a whole year has passed. It is their faith that is getting them through. On the other side, you saw, and Allah protect Ya Rab, and Allah Rabbul Izzah grant ease to everyone. There's natural disasters happening at the other end of the world. And people are falling apart because the houses have been burnt. Do you notice that you need iman to be able to overcome the difficulties of life? Innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. Last one for tonight. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. زِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. We increase them in guidance. This comes only as a result of practice. So if you have found the faith, you practice it, you implement it, you bring it into your life, you bring it into your family, your guidance increases. I'll do one more. I'll do two more. Then the verse says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Then we strengthened, put a knot, tied up their hearts, as in we gave them courage. So what you'll need when the difficulties come is to become people who have courage. Now, because I see some faces looking at me with a bit of a smile, hold on, this is a good thing. Not stupidity, not go defile this and vandalize this and burn this and put the courage with wisdom, and then Allah explains to you what to do with it. Innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim wazidnahum huda wa rabatna ala qulubihim idh qamu faqalu. Courage to stand up and say what needs to be said. The courage to stand up and say the truth. The world is where it is because of weak men, callous men, spineless men, cowards who see a wrong, but they don't have the oomph to say it. Because he'll lose his seat in the parliament. He'll be voted out. The media will go against them. The truth is like the sun, as clear as that. So what's holding you back? Weakness. Because you don't have courage to stand. Me and you were commanded to stand, to do the da'wah, to say the truth. And this qawama, the Prophet, early days of Islam, Alhamdulillah, I think you will know the Quran. The first command was, Ya ayyuha al-muzammil, after Iqra, Qum al-layla illa qaleela. The first qum, the first stand, was for ibadah. The second one is muddathir, qum fa'anzir, get up, rise, stand, warn. The second one is much more difficult. And for the second one, the Prophet spent his whole life. He got kicked out of Mecca. Wars came after him. He was segregated, isolated, sanctioned, all that he bore. But Allah Rabbul Izzah made his religion reign supreme and the truth manifested. And they say it is enough for the righteous to remain silent, for evil to reign the world. If the righteous are quiet, if they're shy, if they're bashful, if they're worried, if they're evil will rule. But as soon as people start to talk, to stand up, to take a stance, to light a candle, the darkness will disappear. I thank you for your time and patience. I think that's a good place to end. Allah protect you, Ya Rab. May Allah Rabbul Izzah, who has gathered me and you here on his obedience today, gather us in Firdausul A'la with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the righteous. May Allah Rabbul Izzah honor you, protect you, guide you, guard you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.